Oh, Martin, you know what? They're definitely going to announce the host city for Eurovision 2023 next week.
What? We don't know this at all. What are you talking about? No, how do you know that?
We do. It's sod's law, Martin. Oh, it's sod's law.
It's sod's law. Yeah. Why? Because both of us are on holiday.
Yes, we're both on holiday next week, which does
separate
mean...
Separate holidays.
All right. Can I just say, sorry, you really jumped in there really quickly, as if like us going on holiday, it would be such an intangible thing to happen.
I mean, we actually do go on holiday with each other every year.
What was that about? That was really weird. Okay, thanks for that, Martin. But yes, I'm off to Croatia, you're off to Austria, so they're definitely going to announce the host city next week. We'll find out what we do about that, if that's the case. But anyway, let's focus on this episode first of Norrpois.
Norrpois is shameful.
Norrpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Norrpois is no fun.
Yes, welcome once again to this Eurovision fan podcast with Martin and Laura.
Hello.
The people who don't know everything about Eurovision, but slowly over the months and years as the podcast rolls on, we're trying to get to the bottom of things and work out how it all works. But I don't think we'll ever fully achieve it. But thanks to your help, we're getting a lot closer. And thank you to the help of our patrons. Patrons, our null pointers on Patreon, where
you
can go and support us. Yes, thank you, null pointers. So thank you to Jem, to Theo, to Richard, and to Emma, who are all involved on Patreon. You can be as well, and we'll give you details of how you can do that a little bit later. Jam-packed old podcast today, another episode of Flop That Euro Bop. What else are we doing? We're talking about some big news from Eurovision. There's some Sam Ryder news as well. There's your correspondence. It's all happening, really. And we want to hear from you as well. Details on how you can get in touch at the end of the podcast. But first, what? Some more news about where's going to host things, but we still don't know.
Well, it's not really about hosting, but it's just that the BBC, and this isn't a big surprise because we assumed this would happen, but they've confirmed how they're going to select the UK song and act for 2023. Surprise! They're doing the same thing they did last year because it worked so well for them. They're collaborating again with Tap Music, who obviously brought Sam Ryder to Eurovision and got UK in second place. They'd be mad not to go with that selection process again. Imagine if they were like, actually, we're going to open it to the public this time. We'd be like, what? So there you go. That's not a really big surprise. Tap is back for another year for the BBC.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, exactly. And they've given out a statement that said, you know, last year, we wanted to change the narrative around the UK and Eurovision to something much more positive. We focus on what Eurovision is all about. We found a brilliant artist, an unforgettable song, an incredible person as Sam Ryder. We're so proud of his success. 2022 will be a hard act to follow, but we're more than ready for the challenge. Eurovision being held in the UK is such an opportunity to celebrate the diversity of British musical talent. So the search will be started. And yeah, I hope it wasn't a one-off with them. I don't know. It's really hard to know, do you know? Because like when they're saying stuff like, yeah, we totally knew what we were doing. Or we went for this, this and this, and we did so well. And it's like, was it a fluke? And now they're like, shit, we've got to do it again. Uh-oh. Who knows? But I mean, obviously it would be madness not to go with them again. So yeah, that we've got the selection process for the UK. It's the same as last year.
I've got visions, right, of them announcing who it is. And they're like, and we found this brand new artist. He's so quirky and different. He's got a beard, long hair, sings really high, and his name's Bam Schneider.
Yeah, it's Bam Schneider. And it's just Sam Ryder, like with a little top hat and another mustache on his on his beard, like, hello there, I'm Bam Schneider. It's like, what? Wait, that guy looks familiar.
No, he's a completely different guy.
Bam Schneider.
And he's singing a song called Astronaut Woman.
It's about a woman this time. Space woman.
Space woman.
It's like, but that doesn't make sense. I'm up in space, woman. That's a completely different context.
I'm sure.
That just sounds rude, Bam.
Bam, I don't know where you've got this idea from. Okay. Well, basically, I'm sure they're not going to do that. I'm sure they're going to come up with a very good plan, and Bam Schneider is not involved at all. By the way, speaking of Bam Schneider, sorry, Sam Ryder.
He's
been all over the place recently, hasn't he?
He has.
Kind of still riding on his success. He's got a song out with David Guetta and someone else famous, Sigala.
I know.
Which is really good. He's got his new single out. He's working on an album, and he was performing the other day at a really, really moving, emotional and big gig.
Yeah, he was. I was really shocked when someone shared this with me, but it was lovely. He joined Queen on stage, not the Queen. He joined Queen on stage at the Taylor Hawkins Memorial Concert, which was obviously the concert to celebrate the life of the drummer of the Foo Fighters, who sadly passed away. A big, huge concert, really big people, you know, at this concert, loads of fat, because he was, you know, such a big deal. And, you know, Dave Grohl sort of, he gives this little speech about he wasn't sure who he wanted to do this next song, and he asked this person, and within 20 minutes they agreed. And then on comes Sam Ryder to sing Somebody to Love as a kind of Freddie Mercury figure. And he really goes for it, and it's a lovely moment, and he does really well.
Yeah, and it's so wonderful to see Sam get these opportunities, isn't it? And it's all come about after his Eurovision success.
Yeah.
It just goes to show that if you do well at Eurovision, it really means something.
This is the thing, and I think I really hope this will show some people who were thinking, oh, Eurovision, why would we want to do that? It's just going to tank our careers. It will do if you get double nul pois, but if you actually do well, then look at all the opportunities he's had. And the thing is, I think he's taken it with such positivity as well. I think he's really gone for it. And I think that's why he's been given these opportunities. And he's obviously got this quite flamboyant, you know, even before Eurovision, though, and I think this is the thing about Sam Ryder, he was clearly someone who was really sort of pushing and trying all these opportunities. And I think that's probably what got him the gig, because he wasn't really signed with anybody, I don't think. He was on TikTok and he was making these TikToks of him doing covers. And I think that's also what attracted Dave Grohl to him, because he did a cover of Somebody to Love on his TikTok. And I think Dave Grohl might have seen that and been like, okay, this guy's really good, we've got to get him. And then also seen that he had some experiences performed at Eurovision. So yeah, I think it really does go to show. But I have to say, Sam Ryder has really done very well. I mean, Måneskin are another example. They're doing very well. They're being invited to lots of things. And I think it's to do with having your own kind of personality and being a bit different.
I was just about to say that. Because not only did Sam Ryder do really well at Eurovision, obviously Måneskin won, both of those, as you rightly point out, have something about them, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, Sam Ryder has a really great personality. He comes over as a really lovely bloke, confident, fun. And Måneskin, that's a completely different thing, but they've got their own thing as well. They're really edgy and kind of cool and gritty and sexy. And like, that's really working well for them. But it's showing that you, as well as that, a Eurovision act, a Eurovision star, can be themselves and isn't just this homogenized, oh, that's Eurovision, like that's a Eurovision person.
It's true, actually. Yeah, I think it's really nice. It does show the variety of people you get in Eurovision and how it really can be great to be finding these artists in this way. And I think they're an example of how well you can do from Eurovision. Eurovision isn't this, we have seen in the past sometimes, you know, you win Eurovision, maybe you put a single out, you put an album out, and then kind of it dies down. These guys, you know, they're using things like TikTok, they're using other means, and they're just flying.
Gonna do Flop That Euro Bop in just a moment, and it's my turn to sing a terrible Eurovision song terribly. You've got to get that the right way around.
Yes, you do.
Don't say
you
sing
do,
a terrible Eurovision song. Sing a Eurovision song terribly. So I'm gonna do that in just a little bit. But first, I need to kind of talk about Russia again, which you may remember at the very beginning of the invasion of Ukraine, after a bit of kind of dilly and dallying really on the part of the EBU. It eventually came down on what I think is universally is accepted as the right decision, which was to ban Russia from the Eurovision Song Contest. Now, though, as the war enters what its sixth month, I think maybe even seventh month,
that screw is
being tightened even more on Russia's involvement in kind of broadcasting within Eurovision completely.
Yeah, so basically, as you've said, Russia is suspended from the contest, but now OGAE Ukraine, which is OGAE is the sort of official fan group for all the different Eurovision countries. OGAE Ukraine, they've called for Russia's fan club, OGAE Russia, I guess, to be banned from all activities too associated with the OGAE. And it comes after the I'm going to say OGAE a lot, by the way, in this. I'll say the Fan Network International, they allowed OGAE Russia to submit a song to the song contest that the International Fan Network do. And Ukraine's fan club wasn't very happy about this, that they were allowed to submit a song. They said, Eurofans from Russia who supported the war should leave OGAE. OGAE Ukraine appeals to the international community of fans of the Eurovision Song Contest with a request to remove the Russia club from participating in fan and international activities and events, including the Song Contest 2022, due to official support of their government actions published on the website on the 26th of February 2022, so just when Russia was invading. We consider the further participation of the OGAE Russia club in any activities of the Eurofan community as contrary to the principles of OGAE International and common sense. So basically saying these guys shouldn't still be allowed in. They posted a post in February supporting Russia. Why are they still being allowed to take part in activities? It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because part of it is, well, I can understand why Russia is banned, because they are, you know, representing that country. Is it the same with OGA Russia, when it's fans who clearly, maybe many of them don't support what's going on? We don't know their sort of feelings. I suppose because the fan club did seem to put this post out earlier on, maybe they feel they shouldn't be taking part. The thing is, they've also pointed out that one of Russia's artists for the song contest has performed in concerts that explicitly support the war against Ukraine. And I think that's probably a bit more of the kicker as well.
Yeah, that bit where there are things that have been done in the name of OGAE Russia that do seem to support the war, that is something that you could understand would be taken very, very seriously by the OGAE Ukraine. I would just say, though, putting that bit to one side, it's a difficult line to tread, isn't it?
Is.
Because not everyone in Russia will be supportive of the war. And it's to what extent you punish the country by doing things like banning it from Eurovision, big cultural events, things where it can look good on the world stage. And then you sort of restrict the enjoyment of just regular Russians who may absolutely detest what their country is doing. Mm. Now, I'm not taking a side on this or anything like that. I'm just sort of saying maybe that is what the people behind the wider OGAE group were weighing up when they were deciding whether or not to keep the Russian OGAE within that OGAE family. I'm also saying OGAE an awful lot.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the line they've been treading. I wonder now that with it coming to light that that organisation has been saying things which it suggests are supportive of the war, that crosses a line. That says, well, hold on now, you're taking a political stance, you're taking a view, I don't think that we can be involved in this anymore. Maybe that's a conclusion that's going to be reached.
Yes, although to be fair, this the support they gave, that was way back in February, they gave this support. I think when Russia first invaded, according to OGA Ukraine, they said there was official support of their government actions published on the website escrus.org on the 26th of February. They must have given some kind of post where they supported what the government was doing on that date. Now the latest thing is they've submitted this song, and it contains an artist who has performed at lots of concerts that explicitly support the war. Another thing is, and we've discussed this before, is it can be difficult for Russians who even maybe don't support the war to speak out sometimes, because they, you know, it's not easy to speak out against the war in Russia. And no. again, not supporting that. Obviously, we are both anti the invasion of Ukraine. I wonder if maybe the OGAE international thought, well, I'm not sure. Let's see if they do any more posts after this. And it seems like they didn't. But now I feel like if Ukraine has submitted this comment saying they're not happy with it, and also if they've submitted a song which includes someone who's very pro the invasion, then I think they need to take another look at it again and wonder whether they should be part of it. I still agree it's a tricky one though, because they are fans from all around Russia, and if one person from the club has, you know, selected this song and selected this artist, should every fan that's part of that club be banned? It's tricky, is what I'll say. But maybe now that they've included this person who's clearly pro the invasion, they should be looked at in more scrutiny.
Yeah, bit of a serious one to discuss there. And your thoughts, very welcome as well. Details on how you can get in touch on the way very soon.
Right now, though, it's time for this.
Flap. Well, flappity, flappity, flap. Well, flappity, flappity, flap. Well, floppity, floppity, flop that Eurobop.
It's time, of course, for another Flop That Eurobop. Martin, it's your go.
It is my go, yeah. This is the bit of the podcast where one of us, in this case it's me, sings a Eurovision song really very, very badly indeed, and the other one has to work out what it is. And congratulations if you were playing along at home last time and you got it correct on the first hearing of it. It's very, very difficult to do, it turns out, because we're really, really bad at singing.
I find this hard. I do genuinely find this hard, but yeah, go on.
I think this one is going to be maybe one of the easiest I've done.
Oh, no, don't say that.
No, I purposely picked one that's very easy, and I picked one with, I think, a really recognisable bit to it.
Why would you lead up to that with that? Why would you say that? Because you know I'm not going to get it.
don't do yourself down before it's even
started. I
have to, Martin,
because I won't get it. I know I won't.
This is a big Eurovision song. Oh, I'm going to sing it really, really badly. Let's see how you get on. Here we go.
Oh, yes. Now I do. The problem with this, and I will say, is like you near the very end, you get it.
Right.
But like it takes a while to get into it. So it's like you're listening and you're like, what? And I do know what that is, but I'm trying to, what is it? Do it again.
Okay. I'll say now, if you think you know it, pause the podcast at this point and send us an email, nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com, or write on the Patreon if you're a member of Patreon, or get in touch with us in any way, or all over social media, and tell me what you think it is at this point right now. So press pause and and tell us what you think it is. Here it comes again.
It's not Save All Your Kisses For Me, is it?
It's close. Well, it's
got a little bit of that.
It's sort of the right sort of era, I guess.
Yeah. What is it or isn't it?
Well, it's not that. It isn't that.
No, as in, sorry, I mean, is it the right sort of era or isn't it?
Yeah, it is the right sort of era.
Okay. Well, what does that mean, sort of?
Well, it's pre-2000.
It's era, isn't it?
Pre-2000.
Okay. Oh, but that's... Okay. I was going to say, that's not really an era. I was going to say, is it in the 70s or is it not?
No, it's not the 70s.
Yeah.
But it's close to the 70s.
I love that.
It's 1969. It's 1969.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay. Well, what? You've just given me the year now. But that's not very fair. You're not supposed to, like, just tell me the exact thing. What kind of a clue is that, Martin?
Well, do you know it from the year?
Well, is it one of the winners of 1969? Because there were four.
Then it is one of the winners, isn't it? Oh god, I don't know.
Yeah, because I was gonna say, and it's not Boom Bang a Bang.
It's Boom Bang a Bang. Yeah, it's Boom Bang a Bang from Lulu.
You can't be doing this clue where you go, okay, and the clue is 1969. That's not a clue. You're just telling me the year there.
So you're annoyed because you had too much information to work it out.
Yes, because I knew it was kind of that sort of. I was thinking UK song, around that kind of thing. But obviously, I went for "Save All Your Kisses for Me," which wasn't it at all. But there you go. I did kind of get it, but I don't know if I got it now because Marta just gave it all away so quickly. But yeah, remember, that was the year where four countries won.
Did you get the bang a bang? That's what I was doing. My heart goes
right.
Bang a bang.
Yes, I did. It was in my head, but I couldn't think of the song, the name. But there you go. I did kind of get it, but I don't know if I'd give myself a point for that.
If you got it, certainly on the first go, well done. Congratulations. I think it is a lot harder than we maybe realised to get these, but it's good fun.
I think it's when you hear it, you're like, well, obviously it's that, but I don't know. I do think it's hard to hear it the first time because there's so much to choose from and you're just trying to hone in. But yeah, I probably should have got that one a bit quicker.
All right. Well, thank you very much for playing, Cress, and well done if you've got it at home on this edition of...
Yes, there you go. Another exciting edition of that. One day I'll get it straight away. I'm a bit annoyed at myself I didn't get that. I think I should have got that, but never mind. Thank you very much to everyone who's been getting in touch this week. Thank you to Blue Zone 97 on Twitter, who's posted laying in bed on a lazy Sunday morning, waiting for Noel Poir to post today's episode and... talking catios with an Aussie. What a life. Well, thank you for that little insight into your life, Blue Zone.
What's a catio? Is it like a patio for cats?
It's a patio for cats, yes. And do you not feel a bit depressed thinking, Martin, that there's probably some cats out there living better lives and more luxurious lives than us?
Is a catio really a patio for cats?
Yes, a catio is a patio for cats.
What?
A catio is a patio for cats.
No, seriously, what's a catio?
No, it is. What else would it be? It is. Look it up.
What do you mean, what else would it be? I wouldn't go, well, obviously there's a patio that exists for a cat. What, no, isn't that just a patio?
But if it's called catio, what else do you think it's going to be? It's a patio for cats.
I don't know.
Outdoor cat enclosure.
Right. What?
And because the idea is you can put your cat outside, but they're not going to go get run over or whatever. So they can have a nice big outdoors enclosure. But if they're more of an indoor cat, but you'd like them to have a bit of the outdoors, then you put them on a catio.
Right. I'm learning so much.
There you go. Blue Zone knows what it is. I will say Blue Zone, and we did mention this on Twitter, so you know already. We were a little bit later on with the Sunday episode, but that's because we have this promise where whenever we put the Patreon episode up, then it's 24 hours after that. And because we recorded it late because we had so much else going on, that meant the Patreon episode was a bit late.
So blame the Patreoners, basically.
Blame them or join them.
Yeah, join them.
Join them and then you will always get the episode 24 hours before we release, at least 24 hours. Sometimes it's a couple of days. So if you want to be actually in sync with when we actually record this, then join Patreon because you'll get it like at least 24 hours. Sometimes it's like a few days. And thank you to our patron Jem, who when we asked our patrons, do they want to submit a flop the Eurobop? Jem also said, I may have one up my sleeve. We're yet to see it, Jem. But we would like to hear from you, patrons and non-patrons, if you want to send us a flop the Eurobop, you can do. You do that by going to nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. Luke has sent us one in the past. We'd love to get more people sending it so we get a bit more of a range as well. Because me and Martin, there's specific loads of Eurovision songs we know, but it'd be great to get some different kind of variety as well. So nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com for that. If you want to speak to us on Twitter, we are @poirnull. Also, we're on Instagram, nullpoirpodcast it's just called Nullpoir Podcast. Also, check us out on YouTube. We are Nullpoir on that as well. And that is more, we look at previous songs that have scored Nullpoir and we react to them and decide if they deserved it. So lots to interact with us on. We'd like to know your thoughts on OGAE Russia. Should they be banned? Did you catch Sam Ryder at the tribute concert? And let us know, I guess, if we find out about the host city. Fingers crossed we don't next week, but let us know about that as well.
Yeah, so next week, there probably won't be a podcast because both of us are on holiday. However, if they do tell us the host city, I don't know what we're going to do about it.
I don't know. We'll have to scramble something. Maybe just record something on our phones. I don't know. We'll have to do something, but we'll do at least an immediate reaction. It might even only be 5 minutes or something, but we'll do a quick thing. But so you'll be waiting if that news comes out, you'll know we'll be having a quick discussion with ourselves going, right, what are we going to do here whilst I'm in Croatia and Marta's in Austria?
Yeah. Well, anyway, look, enjoy your holiday, Cress, and I shall enjoy mine very much. And we
separate
will convene.
Separate holidays, by the way.
Holidays, not going to the same place. Not going with each other.
Yuck.
Make that very clear. Right. Thank you very much for listening to this edition. We'll see you again at some point soon on the next edition of Null Point.